Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
God bless you. I'm glad to come back again to talk about lifestyle of serving God. Thank you for listening to this teaching again. And I believe that the Word of God will really change your life and will build your faith and renew your mind so that the Holy Spirit will be able to work from your spirit with your mind and your body will be a living sacrifice for God. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We believe, Lord, when we, Lord, listen to the voice of the Lord our God and obey your command, we will be healthy, yes. We will be blessed, and we will be successful. Yes. Wherever we go, Lord, whatever we touch, it will bring the blessing to the eternal purpose of God. Father, we pray that everyone who listens to this CD will be blessed and their faith will grow and they will live a life that glorifies Jesus' name. Yes. Thank you, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you listen to the first CD, you remember that we have read many scriptures and concluded that because of God's mercy that He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for us, we are willing to live our life to serve Him and to fulfill His purposes. You don't need to be a full-time worker, a full-time preacher or pastor to serve God. Mm-hmm. You can be a computer technician. You can be a computer programmer or a clerk or a manager or a teacher or a doctor or a nurse. And wherever you are, you can be there for the purpose, eternal purpose of God. So we all should serve God. Today we will continue to learn about a lifestyle of serving God. I believe that every believer on earth here should live their life for the eternal purpose of God. We should serve God. So I want to encourage all of you that God really loves us. He is a good master. He wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. He doesn't want to harm us at all. Therefore, when we serve God, we will be blessed and we will see the benefits on both on our sides and on the kingdom side, the kingdom of God side. If we look at the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible says that now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the Bible says we become a bond servant or slaves to God, means serve God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. So the Bible says that the benefit of being a bond servant of God is holiness. The benefit is that we will grow into holiness. We will grow spiritually and the result is that we will experience eternal life even now on earth. We don't need to wait until we go to heaven to experience eternal life. Definitely, if we go to heaven one day, I believe that we all don't want to come back here. I believe with all my heart that heaven is such a good place to be in for eternity. But while we are on earth here, God wants to bless us and God wants to lead us into holy, a holy life to produce spiritual fruit. I have personal experiences and also observed the life of other Christians and I noticed that it's very impossible to grow spiritually and to move forward into holiness or to become more and more like Christ, to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit by being just a church goer or just watching TV, preaching on the TV and stay home and do nothing for God. God used the life of ministry or serving Him as a part of spiritual growth. When you serve Him, you become closer to Him. You have to be on your knees more. You have to pray more. You have to die to yourself, because many times when you serve God, you will face rejection or persecution or misunderstandings. All these things will force you to be closer to God, will force you to into the decision of forgiving people, loving people unconditionally, seeking for more anointing, seeking for the fire of God to come in. I give you example. Yesterday, I was in the youth worship service, and while we were worshiping God together, the presence of God came upon me, and I was crying, and I saw Jesus walking on earth 2,000 years ago with a compassionate heart toward the sheep. And God spoke to me that my sheep really lack knowledge, and they are being destroyed by sin and bondage and demons. Mm-hmm. And go and teach them and set them free. So when God spoke to me, I feel the heart of God, the compassionate heart of God, of the good shepherd, fill my heart. Mm-hmm. And I feel so much love for people. At the same time, I cry now to God, God, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be changed like you. So please give me more anointing, more fire. Mm-hmm. You see, if I don't make a decision to give my life to serve God, this thing will not happen to me. I will be just a selfish Christian living for myself, making money for my own life, mm-hmm. and just live day by day without seeking to become more like Jesus, to be holy and righteous like Him. So when we give our life as a living sacrifice to serve God, then God's anointing will rest upon us. We will repent of our sin. We will make sure that we will need to change in order to win the soul. If you live a sinful life, how can you win soul? If you go to tell people the gospel, but you yourself live a messy life, no one going to listen to you. So you have to shape up your life. You need to make a decision to let the Holy Spirit flow to you and die to self and decrease and let God increase in you. Peace and joy will come in, and you will experience the supernatural in your life. It's a blessing. I will never trade this life of service with anything else. That is the personal blessing or benefit that you will receive when you serve the Lord. How about look at the benefit for the kingdom? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, because of God's mercy, okay, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all others. You can see that this scripture talking about kingdom perspective. That we, because of God's mercy, we appreciate God, we consecrate our life, we give our body as a living sacrifice, continually allow the Word of God to renew our mind, our soul, our thinking and reasoning process. Renew all the time so that we will think like God more and more. And then we begin to live our life to serve the body. You see, look at later on talking about body, that we are members of the body of Christ. So The whole context of Romans chapter 12 verses 1 to 5 are talking about giving your life as a living sacrifice, as a spiritual act of worship, and do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Come to verses 3 to 4 and 5 that so that we can become a member of a body, and then we can use our life to bless the body of Christ. So in other words, the more we serve, the more we live our life for God, the kingdom and the church will be blessed. We will benefit the kingdom of God more and more. Amen. Amen. And then other Christians will be blessed by us. So when you serve God, you receive benefit, and other people receive benefit, and the kingdom of God will be blessed and will receive benefit as well. Amen. Then we live together, we work together as a team in the local church. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, the Bible say, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You see, talking about living stones, the church is compared to a temple. And we each one of us is like a living stone that joined together with the cement of love and the Holy Spirit. And we build, we support one another, we build one another up into a beautiful, magnificent, glorious building or temple of God. So we need to live our life to bless other people in the local church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. "You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints." You see, talking about devoting yourself to the service, mean to serve other saints, other believers. "I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as this and to everyone who joins in the work." Talking about work, serving the Lord, "and labors at it." So the Apostle Paul encouraged the members at the Corinth church to support, to submit to the household of Stephanas and joins into the work and labor at it. You can see that because Stephanas was very faithful in serving, what happened? God honored him and gave him authority and honor that other people will submit. So when you serve God, what happened? God will honor you. God will use you to be a pillar of the church. Eventually, one day you will become like a big tree with branches and leaves, and the birds of the air and animal of the field will come in under the shade of the tree. You'll become a blessing to other people. You see what I mean? What a boring life if we live just for ourselves, to build our own home, to have our own car, and to just have a saving for pension plan. I don't want to live that kind of life. I want to live a life that I can use my spiritual walk to influence as many people as I can. I want to be that big tree that produces fruit 100 times, that people will come in and will be blessed by my life. Before I die, before I leave this world, my body go into the ground, become the dust again, and my spirit goes to heaven. I want to use my life to influence people to the kingdom of God, not to myself, to the kingdom of God, as many people as I can. Sometimes I pray to God like this: God, give me spiritual offspring as many as stars in the sky. I want to see millions of people are blessed by my family, my life, and my church in Seattle here. I want to see that our church really bless many nations and many, many thousand souls and millions of souls around the world. Amen. So I want to encourage you to do the same thing. In Revelation chapter 5 verse 10, Revelation chapter 5 verse 10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. The benefit of serving God is that He will give you authority. He will give you more and more anointing. As you serve Him faithfully, He will keep adding unto you, and you will have authority to reign on the earth. Amen. You will have more power than other people. You know, you can command things to happen in your life, you know, in the ministry. And if you have faith, you can move the mountain of problem. You can command things from. This happened to me so many times that when I speak by faith, because I reign on earth like His priest and king, so miracle happen. And that is the blessing of being a servant of God, that God give you more and more authority as year go by, because you live your life for the kingdom. You live your life for His church. So He will support you. Whatever you say, if it's as long as it's from the Holy Spirit and you know that it will build the kingdom of God, He will back you up. Amen. Now, to serve God is a decision. No one can force you. God will never force you. He is a gentleman. He is a kind God, even though He's just and He is righteous. So that's why Joshua challenged the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. Joshua 24 verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua say, choose, make a decision. But for me, I choose to serve the Lord. So to offer our body, our whole life to serve God is a decision. And I want to encourage you, make a decision as soon as possible that you will be a servant of God. And again, I want to emphasize that everyone to serve God, but not everyone is called to preach and called to pastor or called to into the full-time ministry. And God will never force you. You need to make that willing decision every single day when you wake up, because you can pull off too. You can crawl off the altar. You can say, oh, I'm tired of this. I don't want to do anymore. No matter what happened, the rain comes, the snow fall, people hate you, people like you, people criticize you. Troubles come up and down in your life, rich or poor. You know, you serve God. You have one kid, you are single, or you have three kids, you have five kids. It doesn't matter. You make a decision to willingly serve the Lord. Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Amen. God say that either we offer our life or our body as an instrument of sin. Think about it. We have 24 hours a day. You cannot sit on the fence. If you don't use your life and your body for God, what else you gonna do? You're gonna use your life, you spend your life, spend your body for the flesh, for the sinful thing, and for other things, not for God. You know, sometimes I watch TV see people have get into trouble, see people talk about buying the vacation home, do this and that. And many times the Holy Spirit speak to me. Most people in the world live their life for their own desire and their own flesh. Very rare. It's rare to find people who say, I live my life for God. And in fact, when you live your life for God, God take care of you anyway. You know, if you look around in the society, most people live their life for their own goal, their own purpose, and their own plan. But we, as servants of God, children of God, we want to give our whole life to serve Him. You know, God doesn't want us to give only money to Him. You know, don't have this attitude. I'm going to go to church, pay my tithe, pay my due, and I go home and I don't want to do anything. God doesn't want your money, actually. Mm-hmm. And some people say, oh, you know, I'm going to cook a little bit of cookie for God this year. God doesn't want your cookie. God wants your whole life. God wants your heart, your whole life. And if God can get you, everything belongs to God, and you will live your life totally for God. Your money, your home, your time, your properties, your everything will be of God. Your plan, your dream. You can give up even your dream, for God's purpose. God wants your whole life, not just your money. Don't buy God with your money. Amen. That's why He wants you to be loyal to Him only. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want you to love something else. He doesn't want you to love other things more than Him. Every part of your body, the whole life belongs to God. Amen. Look at what Jesus said when He came into the world. Jesus was such a good example to all of us. He came into the world. He was born in a household of a carpenter. He was helping his dad. But look at his heart in Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 5 to 7. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 7. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. If you change to today's language, my money and my car you don't desire, but a body. In other words, the whole life you prepare for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. In other words, don't just bring gift to God on Sunday, but walk away and say, I'm not going to serve God. I'm not going to live my life for God. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. That is the prayer of Jesus Christ. Your Lord and Master and Savior. He said, I have come to do your will, O God. I think that's why Jesus had so much anointing. Mm-hmm. You remember when he came into the world, he stripped off his glory and anointing. Mm-hmm. He came into the world as a human being without the anointing. Mm-hmm. But when he was 30 years old, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he is the man he is 100% God, 100% man, but as a side of the man, he had the anointing without limit. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because he totally sold out for God, for the Father. He lived his life for the will of the Father. So we need to make a decision to give all of ourselves over to God. Not just what we have or what we can do or just a part of it. Not just maybe our talents, but our whole life giving to God. Amen? Amen. And God will definitely bless us and use us to influence and to impact this generation. Mm-hmm. We are living in such an exciting time, for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. When I read email about revival in another part of the world that we are related to, and we become brother and sister church, you know, I feel that, oh, I want to email all these people that you are living in such a time as this, that God is moving in your city, mm-hmm. in your church, wow, we should use our life fully for His kingdom now. We are living in the time of big revival. Mm-hmm. Great revival will happen everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we need to serve God with the willingness. Make a decision. Look at Romans chapter 7 verse 6. Romans chapter 7 verse 6. But now, by dying to what once bound us, the Bible never say that we just give up sin. But the Bible talk about die. We need to die, crucified our sinful nature with Christ on the cross. What bound us? Sin. We die to sin. Amen. We have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. This is a powerful scripture. The Bible said that we serve Him as a new wineskin in the new way, not of the law. So in other words, if you want to serve God, you need to be led by the Spirit of God. You need to be filled, motivated, controlled fully by the Spirit of God. Yesterday, as I mentioned, that while I was worshiping God in the youth service, God said like this to me, if you try to serve me with your own two things, if you try to be good by your own strength, I can be good. Or you say, I'm going to serve you with my own ability. You are committing a sin of idolatry. You worship yourself. In fact, the Bible, the Holy Spirit spoke to me like this. When you serve me, you just decrease. You just die. Pastor Lau is not there anymore. I'm dead. The flesh of Dr. Lau or Pastor Lau is done. I'm dead. But now I'm just a vessel that the Holy Spirit will move inside me like a glove and a hand. So in other words, every step, every word I say, everything I do need to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God will lead us to do new things that people never done before. That's why I never want to follow any other church methods or way. If people come, oh, why don't you follow that pastor? I say, no, I'm going to follow Holy Spirit. I'm not going to follow another man. God told him to do another thing. God tell me to do another thing. I don't need to follow another church. I don't need to copy or use the pattern of another church. I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit, the new way. Amen. The new way of doing things. So, in order to serve God, we need to depend on the power and the leading of the Spirit. Amen. Don't just go by the written paper on the Bible. Thank God for the scripture that we can learn, we can study, so we know God's principle and God's heart. But in a daily walk, we should serve God by the guidance and leading of the Holy Ghost. New way of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we need to hook up to the Holy Spirit and manifest His fruit. Peace, joy, love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So everything. So we need to let the Holy Spirit really move us on the inside to reveal His fruit, His character. And at the same time, to flow to us with His power. We are just the vessel. We are like a pipeline that the power and the character of God will flow to us. Amen. Lately, actually, this helped me a lot when I think this way. It's very difficult for people to offend me. Because if people say anything against me, against Pastor Lau, I don't feel anything because I'm dead. I don't care anymore. Whatever people say to against me or talk bad or try to make me mad, I cannot be mad anymore. Because I'm dead. A dead man will not have that feeling because I don't represent myself. My body represent the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that should be the way of serving God. Serve by the leading of the Spirit of God. Amen. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit will continue to work on the inside of us and change us day by day, teach us. He will guide us and teach us and show us and reveal the secret things of God, and we will become more and more like Jesus Christ until we attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 10 to 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 10 to 11. Each one should use whatever gift, mean the manifestation of the Spirit, the ability, the supernatural ability the Holy Spirit give you, he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. How can you speak the very word of God? It has to come to your mouth through, it has to come through your mouth by the Holy Spirit. Is that right? If anyone serve, he should do it with the strength God provides. Who gives you the strength? The Holy Spirit. Amen. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So we should let the Holy Spirit manifest himself in the fruit and in the gifting, in the power to us. Amen. And then we serve the body of Christ. We serve the church. And so what I try to say is that our service to God should be initiated, motivated, empowered, and led by the Spirit of God. I produced this series of CD since a year ago. I started this ministry, CD ministry, a year ago. I tell you that this CD ministry was initiated by the Spirit of God. It was not my desire. It was not my plan at all. I never planned to make CD because I never thought that I'm a good preacher. But 1 year ago, God told me, start doing this. It was started by God. It was empowered by God. Mm. And it's still being led by God every time I record the CD. Amen. Mm. So everything by the Spirit. I don't say certain things. I say everything by the Spirit. Amen. Mm. Not man's plan, not your own idea. Don't copy anyone. You are unique, and God created you to do unique things for Him, new things of the Spirit. Oh, I'm excited. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's our individual response and choice to the call of God. But you need to understand this. Individually, God may call us to do something. And do it. If God calls you to go to that house to witness or evangelize, do it. If God calls you to give money to some people to pay their camp fee, do it. But at the same time, you need to understand that serving God, you don't serve God only individually, but you serve God corporately with the church. So, and in the corporate level, God put leaders in the church. God puts His leaders, pastors, elders, care group leader, unit leader, whatever fellowship group leader or ministry leaders. So when God speaks to the leader and he plans something, it's our job and responsibility and good character to cooperate with leadership. So you have individual anointing. The individual inner anointing in you leads you. But at the same time, we have corporate anointing, that the anointing of God or the Holy Spirit will lead the pastor to do something. So when God, so in other words, everyone in the church should be led by the Spirit, including the pastor. So if everyone can do that, the church will be a very fun place to be. Is that right? So when the pastor is led, or the your care group leader or unit leader or elder or ministry leader is led by the Spirit to do something, and you are the follower in that ministry, you just go along. Don't complain. Don't argue. You can give your opinion. You can give some advice with love, but you should not attack them. You should not speak critically against them or judgmentally against them. You should cooperate with them. Amen. That is the Spirit of God. And whatever God wants to do, do it. Actually, I mentioned in the last CD or not, when I went to Thailand this time, the presence of God was so strong, and God spoke to me that, son, your joy should not be in the success in the man, in the eyes of man, but your joy should be in the obedience that you have toward me. So in other words, since that meeting in Bangkok, I was set free that I don't live my life to please man anymore. If people say I'm not successful, it's fine. My joy is not on the success in the human eyes, but my joy is to obey exactly what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. Even though maybe everyone leave the church and maybe and just look at Jesus when he was hanged on the cross, everyone left him, but he obeyed the Father to the fullness, to the end. You see, sometimes when you do something, you may not look successful in the eyes of the world. Amen. So, for example, a story of serving. A master has a maid who is responsible for his meals. One day, he wanted to eat something light and asked her to cook some plain rice soup for lunch. However, she felt that plain rice soup is not nutritious enough or good enough. So she added some meatballs and served it with two scrambled eggs. When the master saw the meal, he became furious because that was not what he ordered. You know, this is the human being problem. That sometimes we think we know better than God. And we plan for God. We do things our own way without obeying God exactly what he say. And we add a lot of things in. We think that, oh God, I know better than you. I should add this on. But actually God say, I want obedience rather than sacrifices. I don't want your work to try to do a lot of things to please me. I want you to obey. If I say turn right, you turn right. That's it. I know that that kind of lifestyle is not easy, because we tend to go ahead of God and do our own things. You see what I mean? So, even though by God's mercy, he uses, by his grace, he anoints us. But don't abuse that grace by doing our own things and run ahead of God. We should obey God and do things his ways, by the Spirit, not our own ways. That's why I love revival. That's why I love the touch of God, the anoint, the fire of God, because that is the way when people get touched by the fire, they fall under the power, they laugh, they check. They learn how to surrender and yield to the totality of the Spirit instead of doing my own way. You know, if you come out to the prayer line and you put your both arms in front of your chest and stand there with chest up and say, God, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to do this. You think when you go out serve God, you're going to surrender to the Holy Spirit? No way. You're going to do your own things again because you don't surrender. So in the revival meeting, when God move and God make you feel weak, you just fall. If God say, you know, just rest and wait on me, you just lie down. It's not about falling, actually. It's about surrender. It's about God. Do whatever you want. I'm here to surrender to the Spirit, to the fire of God. Amen. The Bible say in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Remember this, serving God is connected to being a part or a member of a local church. You cannot be a loner Christian running around doing your own things. You should be a member of a local church. I'm a member of New Hope International Church. If I'm not a pastor, I'm still a member. Who knows, one day I may not be a pastor here. Somebody may rise up to be a pastor, but I may travel more, go out to different city, but I will come back to my home church. This is my church. I need to submit to somebody. I need to submit to a group of eldership that can speak over my life and correct me. Amen. People in the church can correct me anytime. Actually, I'm going to tell the whole church in a few days that I expect every minister in this church to be a part of a fellowship group. Somebody can speak to your life and correct you. You need to be part of a local church, and you will be taught and you will be trained and overseen by other believers who are more mature than you. Amen. We should be a part of serving in a part of the ministry in the local church. We should serve God within our local church and then send out to serve in other countries. We should start serving in our own local church first, and then we are sent out later on. You remember about Philip. Philip was a deacon in Acts chapter 6. He served the table, and one day he was sent out to be evangelist in Samaria. The same thing, Paul and Barnabas were serving as teacher in the church of Antioch. And one day they were sent out to be missionary. But do you remember they came back? Mm-hmm. Off and on, they went out a few missionary trips, but they came back to their own mother church. Amen. So this is important things that we need to understand. Now, let me read another scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 15. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? So in order to serve God, you need to understand this fact that you cannot yoke or be a life partner with an unbeliever. In other words, if you want to have a business, run a business for God to produce money for the Great Commission, don't try to be partner with an unbeliever. You see what I mean? I'm talking about your own business. I'm not talking about you are an employee or a manager of a company and you get into that company as a employee. But I'm talking about if you're going to build a internet business, your own, don't try to yoke or partner with a non-believer. You know what? That non-believer will influence you, and especially financially and decision-making. If the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, He may come from another angle or another aspect. Then you start to have a conflict. Or you should not marry a non-believer. It will be a suffering, because you want to go travel to serve God somewhere, but your husband or your wife say, no, I'm not going. I'm going to go to, swim. I'm going to go to have a swimming class. You go by yourself. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to exercise my muscle, bicep. I'm going to work out to look nice. But you go serve God by yourself. So it's miserable. If you're going to marry somebody who will serve God with you, love God, so that you can go together, you can do things together. It's more fun, husband and wife, to do things together. In the next few months, Da and I will go to Thailand together to serve God. So I'm excited about that. I want to stand on the stage and behind the pulpit with her. It's fun. I don't want to stand there and say, oh, you know, my wife is a non-Christian. I'm sorry, she cannot come here. It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. So believe God, that God will provide you with a Christian spouse. Yoke with the believer. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Don't get non-believer involved in the ministry. Don't get non-believers involved in your business plan. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 verse 7. I will finish this teaching here. Ephesians 6 7 say, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. What the Bible is trying to say here? There are two things here, two aspects. Number one, sometimes it's easy to serve God in front of people because you get the praises of men or recognition of men. The Bible tried to say that serve God even though people are not around. Amen. You serve God wholeheartedly, working for the Lord, not for men. Even men or women are not around you, you still serve God because God sees it. God records it. And God will give, put rewards in your bank account in heaven. Amen. Amen. Serve wholeheartedly. And when you serve men or women of God in the church, you do it as though, as if you serve God Himself. Mm-hmm. You don't do it as you serve human being. Amen. Mm-hmm. So if you get a glass of water for the preacher on Sunday, or you put the cloth on people when they fell on the ground under the power of God, you put that cloth on people like you did it to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. But another aspect is this. Sometimes it's easy to serve God when no one is around you. You know why? Because when a lot of people come in, come and get involved, there are problems, offenses, disagreement, misunderstanding. Problem will arise because everyone is still imperfect and has and still need to work on their sinful nature. Disagreement, sometimes fighting, sometimes quarreling. So sometimes it's easier to serve God by yourself. But I want to let you know that that is not good. You need to be willing to love the unlovely. Love and forgive the weak, the poor, the immature. That's why he say, serve the Lord, not men. He say, serve with all your heart. Love the imperfect people. Ask God to enlarge your heart capacity to forgive and understand and be sensitive to other people and love other people. Amen. Amen. Serve God regardless of the situation and circumstances. If people like us, we serve God. If people hate us, we still serve God. If people give us a hard time, we still serve God. Faithful, doing what God tell us to do. So I want to encourage all of you to offer to God your life to serve Him. Believe me, what you give to Him cannot be compared to what He will give to you. The glory, the anointing, the blessing that He will give to you as you serve Him. Make decision today, brother and sister, to serve the Lord. Give your life and serve Him until the last day of your life. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word here that we learned today. Even I myself are very, very convicted by your word. And I make a decision one more time today that I will serve you all the days of my life. And I pray, Father, that all the brothers and sisters in the church will do so as well. That nothing on earth, whether darkness or demons or calamities or even blessing, will be able to separate them from the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We bless everyone who listened to this CD. Bless their family. Bless their church. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. May God bless you. See you in the next CD series. And please tune in again next time. God bless you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.